you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, January 25th, 2024. I'm your host, Donna Leland, and I bring back my daughter, Rebecca Leland, who somehow made a connection between eternity and a dog bite. Welcome, Rebecca, to Mark and Friends.
Yeah, I got bit by a dog. It was scary. Yeah, so we had our first big snow of the year on Thursday. And we decided, me and some friends decided to go sledding, as adults do on the first snow. So at like 11 o'clock at night, we went to this hill. We were going down. It was super fun. But even whenever we arrived, I saw this dog like on a leash, but running around. And I just remembered thinking, that doesn't seem like a good idea. But we kept sledding and it was a great, great time. And of course, as all good stories go, our very last time down the hill, because we decided to head home, I was going down and the dog was in front of me and he started charging up the hill at me. We collided and he grabbed onto my arm and kind of held on for a bit and then let go and then held onto my forearm until we got down to the bottom of the hill. And it was scary. It's one of those events that people say, quote, I got bit by a dog, and you just don't get it until you've been bit by a dog. I didn't really understand what was happening, so I felt really bad for just like running into the dog, obviously. But then the owner just grabbed the dog and was gonna walk away and started heading toward her car. But luckily, I was with some really good buddies. One of the buddies was like, hey, are you okay? Like checking in on me emotionally. And then the other buddy said, oh, there's no way that she's walking away. Like we have to get information. So he ran after her, talked to her for a bit. And then when he walked back, he said, she's on her way to give you an apology. So she came up, she apologized. She assured me that the dog had all its shots and everything. And then when I like looked at my arm and it was fine, my forearm, and then we walked to the car and then I looked at my upper arm and I was like, oh, that's like bloody. And like, that's like a dog bite. Then the third friend was like, okay, we're gonna take care of you. Don't worry. Like we got back to their apartment. He had everything laid out, like antiseptics and band-aids and everything that I needed. It was a very scary night, but I realized that it's seriously the people that you're with that make events or break events. I got home and the next day I was kind of reflecting on what happened because people were asking me like what had happened. The more I thought about it, the more I had this like realization of eternity, which is kind of funny and weird to think, but that's just kind of how my brain thinks. And God just speaking to me during just Bible study and reflection time. And it's just this idea that I have actually always been petrified of eternity. And I think, have we talked about this before? Like, have we discussed just my petrifiedness feelings of eternity?
I don't think so. I mean, you know, you came to know the Lord and you have a very, you know, assurance of salvation. You know that you know that you know that you know the Lord.
So there ain't no doubt.
Not at all. Yeah, it's kind of, you know, interesting how with that much assurance that the idea of eternity is kind of off-putting for you.
Scary, yeah. And I think it's almost my assurance of salvation that makes it scarier in a weird way. But I've always had a problem with the concept of eternity because when you think of growing up, you were raised to understand death, right? And there's an ending to life. And I think just in life, there are endings, like ending of a season, ending of a movie, ending of a book, ending of relationships, and ending of pretty much anything that we do, there's an ending to. But eternity is never ending. And there's nothing in this world that we can compare that to. Like nothing. And even like a trope in a movie is the idea of like a vampire living forever. And it's just so foreign to us because it's just not an earthly concept. And that concept freaks me out. Like the idea that I can't wrap my head around it freaks me out. And then it freaks me out even more in a weird way that I'm going. Like I know without a shadow of a doubt, when I die, I'm going to be face to face with Jesus. And he is going to say, eternity begins today. And that idea in my heart freaks me out. Like the lack of control, the idea that I'm living forever, like I will actually sometimes get a panic attack. But actually this dog biting scenario and thinking about it gave me so much peace that I'm excited about when I think about eternity, because it's not what you go through, it's who you go through it with. And Jesus has given me a relationship with him now so that whenever I see him for eternity, I know who I'm spending eternity with. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what we're doing. Like, you can read Revelation and we all can pick apart the different parts. They're like, oh, maybe we're going to do this. Maybe we're going to do that. Maybe there's going to be a government kind of scenario. Maybe we're just going to be like sitting around singing to Jesus. We're going to be eating at a table. We're going to be living in our mansions. None of us actually know, because the Bible does not make that clear on purpose. But what the Bible does make clear is who Jesus is, that he wants a relationship with us, and that we can have that now, and that we will have that for eternity. And that gave me so much peace when it came to eternity, and the idea that I don't have to know what eternity is going to be like to have peace about it, because I know who I'm going into it with. And like, I can't tell you just what like a breakthrough that was for me. So it was funny in a way to look back on the dog bite and think that I wouldn't have probably gotten there on my own without thinking through going through hard situations with the right people, and how God provides, and how he has provided himself the ultimate friend, the ultimate king, the ultimate healer. And it's just so crazy that it took a dog bite for me to get there. But I somehow connected in my little brain getting bitten by a dog and spending eternity with Jesus.
I just love that, though, who you're going through it with. And that, yeah, we're going through life right now with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, and how is that working? Well, we're getting the love, the joy, the peace. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's just going to keep going.
Yeah, 100%. And we get to choose that, right? Like, he knows us. So when we see him at, you know, in heaven, he already knows everything about us. And right now we get to choose to know him. And I think that's why it's really important to know sound doctrine and right doctrine, because we can be getting to know, quote unquote, a Jesus that's not real. I think that's kind of scary too. Like, I want to know Jesus. Like, I don't want to know what someone else thinks Jesus is. Like, I want to know Jesus. And that involves just getting in scripture, right? And like reading scripture and studying scripture. And we can spend our whole lives, like 24/7, the rest of my life, reading scripture, and I still won't know about really who he is. And it's just such a fun concept. Like, that's what we're made for. We're made to know him and make him known ultimately. And it's going to be exciting to know him even better for eternity.
I'm excited about getting answers. I've got so many questions, and it just kind of drives me crazy sometimes. It's like, God, what's the truth? What's really going on here? So I'm hoping we get the answers. Like, I want to see video of the parting of the Red Sea. And I'm thinking, yes, we can do that down here. Why can't we do that up there? I want to see Jonah. I want to go inside the whale with him and see what that was like. I want to see David and Goliath. I want to see Egypt, what it really, really was like. Not the big film things that people present, but I just kind of want to, I want to see the Garden of Eden. I want to see, you know, all of that that took place. I'm just very curious. And when Jesus walked on this world on water, I'd love to see that, but just kind of enjoy the Bible, you know, in living color and visually, you know, experience it. So I'm hoping that's a part of heaven. I'm excited about just the different creatures. We finally get to see angels and not be afraid, you know.
Oh, I was going through a study recently. I'm still going through it with some friends. And what an angel is actually described as is a freaky.
Terrifying.
Like, if you look it up, and it's like, wow, this is like, this beautiful image of this celestial being with two little wings and just glowing and looking like a person. That's not what the Bible describes.
I think we're not going to be
scared
amazed
of them.
No.
And it's that song, right? Will I stand in your glory to my knees? Will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine.
Yeah.
I can only imagine. And that song, also for me, I was able to sing that at a funeral about a month ago. It really helped me too with like the fear of heaven. Because it's like, oh, that's right. I can only imagine. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And then it makes you feel not in control and not prepared. And I love being prepared. And I love understanding exactly what I'm walking into. But God's like, no, you can only imagine, because I didn't give you that information. Because if I wanted you to have it, guess where I would have put it? In my book. But I didn't put it in my book, right? And we have to be okay with that. We have to be okay with the lack of control going into the longest period of our lives. Like this moment that we have right now, blink of an eye compared to the rest of our lives. And it's so crazy to put that in perspective, how not meaningless, but how small this life is.
Yeah.
And I think that's also very believer perspective, because when it comes to the world and speaking to non-believers, a lot of what drives them is, this is all I have. This is all I have. This is all I have. I have to live in the moment. You know, YOLO, you only live once. But it's crazy the way we are allowed to live our lives differently. And often we choose not to. Often we live the way the world does and thinking the way the world does, really worried about the things we have, the things we don't have, because we have to live a good life. But in reality, like, this moment is a blink of an eye, and we have eternity to think about. And like, the more you keep that eternal, the more you keep your sights on eternity, the less the world worries you, and the more what's important is drawn out of your life and your relationships and the things that you are concerned about, not worried about. Keeping your sight on eternity just kind of changes your whole day.
Yeah. Apostle Paul got it. He figured it out. He could handle having a lot. He could handle having very little. Whatever state he found himself in, he was content, because he just knew there was so much more, you know, that he was going to enjoy in heaven. I get very fascinated with stories that I hear. I mean, these are first person stories that people have told me about their loved ones who right before they died. Eleanor Bonico told me about her mother. And right before her mom went home, she was a believer. She kind of sat up and said, I see the angels. The angels are coming.
Wow.
And so they were coming for her. And
stop.
Yeah,
oh,
so it was
like
that, like, mid position between still on earth and almost in heaven. Another situation happened where a man, it was a flood in Tennessee, maybe 20 years ago. And they were on the banks, and the house I think they were in was getting swept away, and it was his wife and his daughter who were getting taken away. But she looked up and she says, the angels are here. And so people have, and then just recently there was another situation where, you know, it's real. There's this, the angels are coming for us. They are coming, and they're ministering to those who will inherit salvation. That's us.
Yeah.
And so they're at the very end. And a lot of people, they know they're going to heaven. They just don't know how it's going to play out. You know, they don't know what that transition is going to look like.
Yeah.
And I
yeah.
think that also produces a bit of consternation. You know,
But how? Just tell me how,
you know?
Yeah.
I don't think I want to know how. I'm just going to trust the Lord. You know, I
just
feel like there's, because we're not going to taste the second death. I think there's just going to be a release from our body.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's in a second, and the angels are there, and we're into eternity.
Yeah.
I think it's fun to think about. Another thing our pastor, Andrew Farley, always says, when people can't wrap their brain around their loved ones who have gone home to be with the Lord, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so they're like, well, what are they doing? And do they know I'm still here? And kind of that thing. But then he always makes the point. So time is based upon the rotation of the sun and the moon. And we're stuck here in time. But eternity, there is no time. And so he believes that the last trump, when the dead in Christ will rise, it's instant. Like when a person dies and they go to the Lord, there is no time, so it's instant. It's at the end of all time.
Wow.
So we all experience eternity at the same time.
That is such a crazy thought.
I know it.
That is, and it's crazy that is how abstract you can think. Like, that makes no, like, that's what we call sci-fi.
Yeah, but it's real.
Right? Right. And like, that is how, that is totally, like, that could happen. Like, that could be reality.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Because there is no time in heaven. We're in time.
Right.
So it kind of also encouraged me that we all, you know, get to experience at the same time.
Amen. Oh, amen. That is so cool.
So lots to look forward to. And, you know, as we continue and work out our salvation here with fear and trembling, knowing God is working in us to will and to do according to his good pleasure.
Amen.
It's kind of still neat to think about this alternative reality that's going on simultaneously, where there is some interesting, you know, creatures that the winged, three-winged creatures with eyes all over them.
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
Yeah. With different heads, like head of a lion, and like it's unique.
Another thing I was thinking of is like the songs in the Book of Revelation, like holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. The four living creatures, they fall down, and that's what they're saying day and night, is this worship. And I thought, wow, while we're down here on planet Earth, when we say holy, 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 we're joining in worship with those in heaven.
Wow.
So there's always worship going on, and we can join in, even though we're stuck here on a timeline.
And isn't there the verse that even when one comes to salvation,
the angels,
like heaven, rejoice,
angels rejoice. Isn't that exciting? The moment we came to know the Lord, we impacted something in heaven. We created this response that these angels, these celestial, amazing beings, got in on our salvation.
Without us even realizing it. Amen. I love that. And I think it's okay to not understand. Like, that's just what's going to happen. Like, as believers, we're not going to, right, when you become a believer, all the way up to death, there's so much that we don't know. There's so much we don't understand. In scripture, it says, like, my ways are higher than your ways, as the heavens are higher than the earth. Like, there is so much we won't be able to comprehend as humans. And that's okay. And I think it's one of those things that I'm grateful for, that I'm so glad I'm not scared of hell in any way, shape, or form. And I count it a blessing that I'm struggling through what eternity looks like, because I'm so secure in my salvation. And it's one of those things where even in my moments of, God, wait, what does this look like? I'm so thankful that this is the struggle I'm going through, and it's not my salvation, and it's not knowing what's going to happen to me after I die. And I think that just gives me even more of a care and a love and a compassion for those who don't believe, because how much hopelessness are they living in day by day? And even the idea that this is all they have, and getting more compassion for them and their actions, because you're like, oh, I might act like that too if I didn't have eternal security. And so I get to look at them and be like, oh, I understand the feeling of fear, because I feel that too, even around eternity. But I don't understand the feeling of fearing death. Like, death, where is your sting? Because I do believe that I'm saved from that. So it gives me kind of that perspective too, to be able to care for people better and have more empathy toward non-believers.
That's a good word. I love that. Well, thanks, Rebecca, for joining me on Mark and Friends. It's always good to hear what's in the heart of a 20-something, and just, you know, you're growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I'm growing in grace too, so it's kind of neat to have this sister in the Lord relationship with you and be able to grow together. I don't have it all figured out, of which you've figured that out.
Praise God.
I don't have it all figured out.
And you don't expect me to either, you know?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Well, my dear, have a great day. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'll talk to you next time.
All right, be in touch.
Want me to to ever leave this place. You could only see me now. My light and temporary trials have worked out for my good. To know it brought him glory when I misunderstood. Though we've had our sorrows, they can never compare. What Jesus has in store for us, no language can share. You could see me now. I am walking streets of gold. You could see me now. I am standing tall and whole.
Could only see me now.